Hey guys, welcome to Telling the Told and Untold. My name is Soho. Before we go straight into today's case, I do have a content warning. In this video, we do talk about domestic abuse. I don't go into any detail, but still, if that's not something you think you're interested in watching, then this video probably isn't for you. So maybe you can watch some of my other videos or just wait for my next upload. Nandi Mbizane was born and raised in KwaZulu-Natal, and she lived with her mother and her siblings. Unfortunately, when she was just a baby, her father did pass away. Nandi was described as someone who is very beautiful and ambitious, and her mother said that she was the apple of her eye. Nandi went on to study at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, and then she graduated with a BCom degree in finance and economics, and she had decided to study this specific thing in honor of her father, because when he passed away, he had just received his qualification in the same thing. After this, she went on to get an honors degree in economics, and then in 2009, she moved to Johannesburg because she got a job opportunity at a high-profile business consultancy company, and Nandi was doing incredibly well for herself. Because of this job, she managed to buy herself a townhouse in Centurion, as well as a blue polo, and things were just going really well for her. She had her small group of friends, and at work she was described as someone who was just very competent, so good at her job, always there, always willing to help. Nandi then decided to further her studies at UNISA. She wanted to get her LLB and she was going to study part-time, and she decided to do this because her mother had studied the same thing, but unfortunately she was unable to finish because she fell pregnant. So she decided that she just wanted to focus on raising her child and just building her family. And I think that just goes to show you the type of person that Nandi was. Like, she did these things to honor both her parents and kind of finish what both her parents couldn't start. And it was just so amazing and just speaks to just how selfless and so loving she was. In 2010, Nandi met businessman Zwelibanzi Kidwell Zungu, who was 28 years old at the time, and Nandi was 25. For the rest of this video, I will be referring to Zwelibanzi as just Zweli. So Zweli worked at a logistics company and he had two sons from a previous relationship, but his two children did not stay with him. They stayed in KZN with, I don't know whether it was his grandmother or his ex-partner's grandmother, but his two sons stayed in KwaZulu-Natal with a grandparent. So he was just in Joburg working and was just able to move around a lot and meet a lot of people. So when Nandi and Zweli got into this relationship and things were progressing, Nandi had spoken to some people in her family about her relationship with Zweli, but she had never gotten into detail about it. And some people say it's because, like, she just kept those things separate and she really just kept her relationship to herself. But other people could say that it's because she was black, and in a lot of black families, if you are dating someone and there hasn't been like the clear intention of marriage or just something like that, it's just like respectful to not talk about your partner, you know? So yeah, so she didn't speak to them about him much, but they did know about him and their relationship. At first, Nandi was very happy in her relationship with Zweli, but as their relationship progressed, she noticed a couple of red flags. Zweli was very controlling. He was emotionally abusive. There hasn't been any indication that he was physically abusive, so that is up in the air. But she did notice these things about him and she realized that she could not be in a relationship with him. She had moved to Johannesburg, she had become very independent, was able to do a lot of things for herself, but now she was in a relationship with this man who was constantly controlling her, policing what she did, where she went, wanting to know who she was with, and that was just something that she could not do, was not going to do. So she then decided to end her relationship with Zweli. In December 2008, and 11. Nandi went home to KwaZulu-Natal so that she could be with her family for the festive season, and she was there until the 15th of January. And during this time, she had spoken to multiple people and told them that she had ended her relationship with Zweli, and it was not something that she was interested in continuing or reigniting. Like, she was completely done with the situation and she just wanted to move on. And it is said that during this period, Zweli had also told multiple people the same thing. He had told them that Nandi had ended their relationship and that they were done, and he was also seen and heard with multiple women by his neighbors. So it did seem like the two of them weren't in a relationship and nothing was going to continue. So in the new year, Nandi eventually came back to Johannesburg so that she could just continue with her life in Joburg. She could continue going to work and just building herself up, continue studying, and, you know, just doing what she was doing without Zweli in her life. But it seemed as though Zweli was just like, just wouldn't leave her alone. He kept calling and messaging her, trying to get them to, like, trying to convince her that they should still be together. And Nandi wanted no part of it. She was so done with the relationship, but Zweli wouldn't get the message and just wouldn't leave her alone. The following month, on the 25th of February, Nandi and one of her friends, Pelele, went to Marble Hall in Limpopo for one of their other friends' wedding. And whilst the two of them were at this wedding, they met these two other guys. And now they just became this big group. They were just like four of them, like double dating the whole weekend at this wedding, getting to know each other. And things were just doing, like, we're just going really great. And Nandi really liked the guy that she met at this wedding, and his name is Oliver Matlatla. And it turned out that he was also from Johannesburg, so things just seemed to come together. And once they got back to Joburg, Oliver literally just wasted no time, and he asked Nandi if she was interested in dating him. And literally the two of them just started dating, and Nandi had told him about her previous relationship with Zweli. She hadn't gotten into any detail about it or, like, the dynamics of their relationship or what led to the breakup, but she had just told him that, you know, she has this ex-boyfriend who's constantly calling her, trying to get back together with her, but she's not interested. Just kind of just like letting him know the situation. And yeah, the following week, on Saturday the 3rd of March 2012, Nandi and Oliver had been dating for literally a week. They had known each other for 1 week, and on this Saturday they just wanted to spend some time together. So Nandi said that Oliver should come over to her townhouse in Centurion so that they can just spend, you know, the weekend together. And Oliver told her that he had some laundry to do that morning. He hand washes his clothes, so, you know, maybe they could see each other a bit later. And Nandi, being the kind and caring person that she was, said to him that, you know, it's so much work, just come over, you can do your laundry at my home because I have a washing machine, it's gonna be so much easier, they could probably spend more time together. And then Nandi drove all the way to Alex to pick up Oliver and his laundry, and then they drove all the way back to Centurion, and they literally just spent the day together. Oliver said he had a lot of laundry, so that's what he did most of the afternoon and into the night. And once he was done with his laundry, the two of them then retired to the bedroom and just called it a night and went to bed. According to Oliver, at some point in the night, he woke up and he realized that there was a third person in the room. And as soon as he realized this, this unknown person went up to him and assaulted him, hit him in the head as well as, like, on his face. And Oliver was just so distraught, he didn't know what was happening. And then he heard Nandi say, "Zweli, leave him alone." And he just knew that Zweli was the ex-boyfriend, so he was like, okay, this person must be Zweli. Then after Zweli assaulted Oliver. He then went to Nandi and then assaulted her too. And Oliver was just trying to gather himself, trying to figure out what was happening. Like, his head was bleeding. There's just a lot going on. And then Nandi, like, pushed Zweli outside into the living room and she closed the door so that she could separate Zweli and Oliver. She was on the other side with Zweli, and Oliver was still trying to, like, gather himself. Like, he had just been woken up by this man in the bedroom, had just been assaulted, and then he realized that he was bleeding, and he tried, like, stopping the blood. He took a cloth, was wiping it, trying to clean himself up, and he realized that the blood was not stopping, so he knew that he needed medical attention. So then he opened the door, went into the living room, and just said to Nandi that he needed medical attention because of the wound on his head. And then Nandi just looked towards Zweli, and Zweli just started shouting at Oliver and told Oliver that he must go by himself and that Nandi's not going anywhere. And Nandi was like, no, I'm taking Oliver to the hospital. And Zweli was not having that. He just kept shouting. He took Nandi's keys and threw them towards Oliver, and he was like, you know, just drive yourself to the hospital. And Oliver didn't want to do that. He wanted to go with Nandi, but Zweli was not going to let Nandi leave. So then he was like, okay, he took his phone, he tried calling multiple friends, you know, trying to get someone to come to Nandi so that they could take him to the hospital so that he could get medical attention for this wound of his that wouldn't stop bleeding. And he kept calling and calling, but none of his friends were answering. And he was just like, he just looked at the situation and he knew that, you know, like, he just had to get out. And he just decided, like, you know what, it's fine, I'll just drive myself. So then he wanted to gather all his things. So he still had some clothes in the washing machine. I don't know if it's like the washing machine or the dryer, but yeah, so he went there and then he was trying to take all of his clothes out. And then Zweli got even more upset and just started shouting even more. He grabbed Oliver's phone and his watch, which were on the counter, and he just threw them against the wall, and immediately they just kind of, like, broke and fell to the floor. And this is when Oliver was like, you know what, it's fine. So he just grabbed the car keys and he left. And then he went to a friend's house, and then this friend took him to the hospital so that he could get medical attention. And some people find it a bit strange that Oliver left, but I think it's a thing where, like, he'd known this person for 1 week. He'd heard about this ex-boyfriend who's so persistent and kind of just, like, saw the situation and didn't want to get Nandi, like, in any more trouble with Zweli. So he was like, you know what, let me just, like, leave the situation because this man is being very violent. Even though he had also assaulted Nandi, he was just like, no, let me just leave. And him leaving is something that he would regret for the rest of his life. After Oliver had been stitched up at the hospital, he then took his friend's phone and called Nandi. And this was around 7:30 in the morning, and this was the 4th of March. Nandi answered the phone and she was, like, whispering, trying to be, like, I think trying to make sure that Zweli doesn't hear that she's on the phone with Oliver. And she just whispered, like, no, she's fine, and that he mustn't call her again, and that she'd pick up her car later that day. And then she dropped the phone, and then after this she sent a message just reiterating what she had said on the phone, that she would come pick up her car, but she never did. The next day was Monday. I know Monday people are starting their week, people are going into work, and on this day Nandi did not show up for work, and immediately all her co-workers knew that something was wrong because they described Nandi as someone who was so reliable, she was so competent in her work. If Nandi was going to be late into the office, like, she would call in, she had never taken any days off. So it was just very strange that Nandi had not called and she had not showed up. After a couple of hours they tried calling her phone, but her phone was off, and this just made them feel just even worse and just unsure about, you know, what was happening with Nandi, and they just wanted to make sure that she was okay. So they got in contact with one of her friends, and the friend was like, you know what, I'll go to a townhouse in Centurion and I'll just check if she's there. And then this friend called another friend, and the two of them then went to Nandi's townhouse. So the two friends were Sphelele and, let's call her Lindelwa. So Lindelwa and Sphelele got to Nandi's townhouse, and they started knocking on the door, but there was no answer. They started knocking on the windows, there was no answer, and they just didn't know what was going on. And Sphelele was the friend that Nandi had gone to the wedding with the week before, where Nandi had met Oliver, and she knew that Nandi and Oliver had started seeing each other. So she somehow got a hold of his work number, and then got a hold of Oliver himself, and then Oliver told them the story about what had happened like Saturday into Sunday morning, and how Zweli had come to the house, and how he had left, and how he still has Nandi's car and she hasn't picked it up. And Sphelele and Lindelwa were like, no, we're gonna come pick you up, and we're gonna go to the police station so we can report this and open a missing persons report for Nandi. And this is exactly what they did. So after they went to the police station and opened the missing persons report, police were very quick with this whole thing, and they took the situation very seriously. And immediately after taking Oliver's statement, they all went to Nandi's townhouse, and police officers broke into the garage, and that's how they gained access to Nandi's house. And as soon as the two police officers walked through Nandi's house, they realized that it was very messy, like things were all over. And they also found her handbag, and inside her handbag they found her wallet, they found like her driver's license, like just important things that she wouldn't leave behind. But they did realize that her phone and laptop weren't inside the townhouse. Then after this, they allowed Sphelele and Lindelwa into the townhouse, and they also just looked around, and immediately they knew that something bad had happened because it was so messy. And they say that Nandi was a very clean person. She was very clean and tidy. She wouldn't leave things all over the place. She wouldn't leave her handbag, and things were just not looking good. In the hours after Nandi was officially reported missing, her family and friends immediately launched their own search, and her family from KwaZulu-Natal traveled all the way to Joburg so that they could help in the search for Nandi. They got here, they searched roads, they searched hospitals, mortuaries, anywhere that they could think of to try and find Nandi, but they couldn't find anything. Also, in the early days, Nandi's family were very suspicious of Oliver because they didn't even know that Oliver existed. He was the last person to have seen Nandi apart from Zweli. They thought that maybe he could be lying, you know, so they were just like, this man is a bit suspicious. But in the same breath, they also kind of believed him because they knew that Zweli wouldn't leave Nandi alone. He was very persistent and all those things. So they just weren't sure what happened. But what Nandi's family and the police both agreed on was that either Oliver or Zweli knew what happened to Nandi. Nandi's brother then went to collect her car from Oliver and also asked Oliver to give him the clothes that he was wearing on Saturday into Sunday morning. And then he took these things and went to the police station to go drop them off so the police could have it in their possession so they can look into it and see maybe if there's any evidence that they could find. And then he also confessed to the police officers that he had went to go see Zweli and ask Zweli if he knew where Nandi was, and he said that Zweli just denied anything to do with Nandi's disappearance, and in a fit of rage he had punched Zweli. Oliver was then arrested after Nandi's disappearance, and then he was released and then re-arrested. And according to Oliver, when he was arrested the first time, police officers just asked him questions about Nandi's whereabouts for hours on end, and they even questioned him about why he had tattoos, implying that he had been in prison before. And then he was released, and then when he was re-arrested, things were worse, and he says that he was in police custody for about 2 days, and during those 2 days he was tortured, he was electrocuted, he was basically waterboarded, and at some point there were 10 police officers in this room that he was in, and they were all just like shouting at him, they were scaring him, they tied him to a chair, and then they took him from the police station in Pretoria to the organized crime unit in Germiston, and he stayed there, and then eventually they released him. So they put him in the back of a police van, they drove him to his mother's house in Bramley, which is very close to Alex Stanton, and then they just like threw him out of the van. This is all alleged, like nothing has ever been done about everything that he said happened to him, and that was just like the last time they ever spoke to him. And this is because they gathered so much evidence against Zweli that they knew that Oliver had to be telling the truth. It also turned out that after Nandi's brother had paid Zweli a visit, he decided to pack up his bags and go to his uncle's house in Katlehong, and he just kind of like disappeared off the face of the earth. No one knew where he had went. He stopped going to work, and because of this they dismissed him, and yeah, it was just bad because no one knew where he was. People wanted to speak to him, police wanted to speak to him, so much so that they put up an award for 50,000 rand for anyone who had information that could lead to his arrest. And during this time, forensics had been completed on Nandi's townhouse, and things were not looking good. They found Nandi's blood in the bedroom on the bed. They also found her blood on a pair of yellow gloves that were in the kitchen, and inside the gloves they found male DNA evidence, which was later confirmed to belong to none other than Zweli. Items that Nandi was believed to have been wearing when she was last seen by Oliver, as well as pieces of bed linen, were found in the washing machine, and a dog trained to react to the presence of human blood had also alerted to blood being found in Nandi's bed as well as her bedroom floor. Other forms of evidence were also collected in Nandi's townhouse, and they found so many fingerprints that showed that Zweli had been in her townhouse and had been there recently. Police also spoke to the security guards at the complex of Nandi's townhouse, and they also got CCTV footage that shows people entering and exiting the complex. And on the CCTV footage, they saw Nandi and Oliver going to a complex that Saturday when she had picked him up from Alex, and then they see Oliver leaving the complex at 4 a.m. in Nandi's car, and he is alone. And then 5.5 hours later, at 9:35, they see Zweli driving out of the complex in his white VW Polo. And Nandi is nowhere in the car, and Nandi has not been seen on CCTV footage ever leaving that complex after she came that Saturday with Oliver. Police also gathered cell phone evidence. So Oliver told the police that Zweli had smashed his phone against the wall, and then he had left like without his phone or his watch, and he had just driven off. And cell phone towers very close to Nandi's complex show that Oliver's phone was still working after it had been smashed against the wall, because it was still pinging, and it showed that it was still in Nandi's townhouse after he had left at 4 a.m. And then it also showed that his phone, Nandi's phone, and Zweli's phone were all together pinging from the same cell phone tower at the same time. They also saw that Nandi had received a phone call from Oliver's friend's phone number at 7:30 that morning, just like Oliver said, and that Nandi had sent that same number a message. So Zweli and Nandi's phone were in the same area at the same time. And then Nandi's phone starts pinging against cell phone towers at around 10:35. And it's almost as though like the phone leaves the complex and then it's on the highway. But right next to her phone is Zweli's phone, because they're pinging on the same cell phone towers on the highway. And then all of a sudden, Nandi's phone just stops pinging, almost as though her phone had maybe like been thrown out of the car, had been broken, switched off, something happened and the signal just stops. Her phone has never been found. Oliver's phone has never been found, and also her laptop that was said to have been missing from the townhouse has never been found. On the 25th of April, so over a month after Nandi's disappearance, Zweli decides to hand himself over to the Hawks officers in the presence of his attorney at Pretoria Magistrates Court, and he claimed that he only realized that he had been wanted in connection with Nandi's disappearance after he saw his picture and an article. And then he told them some other story. So according to Zweli, he says that at the time of Nandi's disappearance, he and her were still in a relationship. Even though multiple people have said that Nandi had told him that they were not together. He also says that he had been in and out of Nandi's complex in the days before her disappearance, but CCTV footage doesn't show him entering or exiting her complex in those days he said that he had been there. He says that on the 3rd of March, he had decided to go to Nandi's townhouse just to go see her. He decided to go see her around like after midnight, and the security guards led him into the complex, and then he went to the door, and once he got to Nandi's door, he realized that he didn't have the key that Nandi had given him. So he started knocking and knocking and no one was coming to the door, so he just decided to break in. And then once he broke into the house, he found Nandi and Oliver in bed together, and he admits to have assaulting Oliver, but he says that he did not assault Nandi. And then he says that he did lose his temper a bit, he started shouting, and then afterwards he just decided to go sit in his car, and then he fell asleep, and then he woke up around 9 in the morning, and then he just decided to drive off, which is so strange that he just decided to do that. Like, he didn't go see if Nandi's okay, see maybe if he hurt Oliver. Like, your girlfriend has been missing for over a month, and at no point do you think of going to the police to go speak to them about what you know. You know, like, things were just not adding up, especially with all the evidence that they had gathered against him. Like, they know that he spent time with Nandi and was in close proximity and not just in his car, you know? So, yeah. Zweli was then charged and then detained in custody. His car was also taken into evidence and searched, and further evidence was yielded. They found a stain on the back seat as well as in the boot of the car, which appeared to have been blood that had been cleaned away. Unfortunately, it was too diluted to confirm. They also found other blood, and they confirmed that the blood did belong to a female, but it wasn't enough blood to compare to that of Nandi's. And Zweli had something to say about this. He said that the reason why they found blood in his car is because the previous owner was a woman, so it's probably just like her leftover blood in the car. But then other people came forward. So the owner of a car wash says that on the 4th of March, which was a Sunday, he said that Zweli had brought his car into the car wash to be washed. And one of the people that was washing the car realized like this weird stain in the back seat as well as in the boot. And he just thought it was a bit strange. And he washed it, and then he spoke to one of his coworkers about it, and they kind of just put it in the back of their minds until they saw that Zweli was wanted in connection with the disappearance of Nandi. And then they were like, oh my gosh, what if it has something to do with her disappearance? Yeah. Okay, so then police officers managed to track down the guy who always washes Zweli's car. And they discovered that he had washed his car on Saturday. So not only did he wash his car on Sunday, he washed it literally on Saturday. And this guy that always washes his car was like, no, there was no stain on the back seat. I didn't notice anything, like the car was fine. And then Zweli went to police officers and was like, no, the reason why I took it to a car wash on Sunday, the day after I had just washed my car, is because the guy that regularly washes my car, he had spilled like some engine fuel on my seat and it left that stain. So that's why I took it to another car wash and not to him. And the guys that washed the car on the Sunday were like, no, we know what engine fuel is, or like car fluids, and it was not that. So that was just very interesting. With all this information, police still did not know where Nandi was. But with all the evidence that they had gathered, they strongly believed that Zweli had murdered her and then disposed of her body. And they really wanted him to go to trial for this. Even though they knew they didn't have a body, they still believed that they could get a conviction. So they went to trial, and this was going to be a no-body trial. So a no-body case is very difficult to prove because, number one, they have to prove that Nandi is dead and not just missing. And number two, they have to prove that she has been murdered. And they have to prove this without a body and just with circumstantial evidence. So there are three things that they can prove, like one or three of the things that they can prove for forensic evidence. And the first thing is blood. The second thing is maybe Zweli had spoken to one of his friends and this friend has decided to come forward and tell police officers everything. And the third thing is that Zweli has decided to give a full confession and police officers have enough evidence or gathered enough information from his confession to confirm that Nandi is indeed dead. So those are some of the things that they can do. So in the case of Nandi, they had three things. The first thing that they had was the cell phone evidence. The second thing that they had was the DNA that they had found in Nandi's townhouse, as well as the blood in the car. And the third thing was the CCTV footage that they had from the townhouse. There's one thing I found so interesting about this case, and I found it in the court documents, and that's one of the main sources I used for this case, and you can find that in my description box under sources. So there's a friend of Nandi's and her name is Nolwazi, and it said that she's like a very credible source, and she said that they were like a group of people were assaulting Zweli, and as they were assaulting him, he kind of just shouted at them that they should stop or else they'll never find Nandi's body, or like he'll never tell them where Nandi's body is. And I thought that was so interesting because I don't know when he was assaulted, like if it was during the trial, before his trial, after he was arrested, like I don't know. I just know that he was assaulted and he said this one thing, and this one thing he said is clearly very important if it is in the court documents, and it said that Nolwazi is a very credible source. But yeah, I didn't know where to put that in, so I'm just adding it now. Zweli Bantuzungu was found guilty on the 13th of November 2015, and as far as I know, he was the second person to ever be convicted during a no-body trial. He was then sentenced to life imprisonment for the murder of Nandi Mbizane. Nandi's sister said after the sentencing, "We hope when he's in jail, he sits and reflects on what he did and finds it in himself to tell us what he's done and where her body is, because we cannot really get closure." It's been over 10 years and Nandi Mbizane's body has still not been found.